You're listening to The Rob Johnson Show. Coming up, we solve all the world's problems. Better take some notes on 640 WGST.
Seven 36 on the Talk of Atlanta, 640 WGST, and new at 92.3 FM. I am Rob Johnson, host of The Rob Johnson Show, the program in which I am now speaking. Our phone number is 404-367-WGST, 367-9478. Email rob at wgst.com. Find us online at Facebook and Twitter, and of course at wgst.com, where we are streaming even as I speak. I want to talk for the next few minutes here about economic issues, both at home and abroad. First, let's go overseas. The euro has slipped to a 16-month low. Joining us this morning from London is Alistair Winkland to give us the details on this. Hi, Alistair. A 16-month low for the euro now. What's this all mean?
Well, the big problem, of course, is many countries here have got huge debts that they cannot realistically pay off, Rob. Countries here don't make stuff, unlike America. You guys still make cars and all sorts of stuff. Only here in Germany and Holland are the major manufacturing and exporting industries, and those are the very few countries that have nice, healthy economies right now. So the jury's out as to just what is to be done. Some people saying the worst may be behind us. There are, of course, talks now about reforming the financial rules whereby 17 countries here share the euro currency. But until that happens, until that is passed by the various governments and parliaments, it's still going to be situation normal here.
Stocks
and, not healthy.
Stocks are doing rather well here in the United States, but they're not reacting as well in Europe, are they, to this new info on the euro?
No, some of them have been rebounding slightly over the Christmas New Year holiday, but not hugely. Of course, there's bad news from China too, which is fueling this. Indications that consumers in China are buying less stuff. China is now importing fewer goods, so its budget imbalance again is being exacerbated from that. It's a huge budget surplus there. Of course, it's going to get bigger if it doesn't import more stuff. There is a It's difficult to know where Europe is heading. Some people predicting this will be the year of extreme pain in Europe. Certainly we're likely to see more protests on the streets. In Athens, of course, people resisting austerity cuts there. They took to the streets and threw stuff and burned stuff. And we might see other countries following suit. But it's difficult to predict where we're going. Right now, Europe is still just emerging from its rather comatose period of Christmas and New Year. You don't, for example, see a lot of cars on the roads right now. I'm sure that in the next week, we'll be up and running again.
Okay. Alistair, thanks very much. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Alistair Winkland, live in London this morning at 7:39. Now, as we move to economic woes in the U.S. and how to fix them.
Try to search for one big mess. It isn't hard to find. It's in the U.S. right here where you live. Stock market in big distress. Price of gas a crime.
The Rock, Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama.
Seems just so hard to forgive. Economy is such a dirty word. It's hard to keep a job, it's true. Economy, it's bad you probably heard. So can I borrow a buck from you?
Here in the United States, we of course have survived with the help of some government stimulus, but also because of the geniuses of economic prosperity that are running this nation. Let's start with the President of the United States in a speech he was giving to the Environmental Protection Agency just a couple of days ago. Listen, in his mind, what truly helps create jobs in the United States. And keep this in mind as we're facing an election and the potential re-election of this man in November.
We can make sure that we are doing right by our environment and, in fact, putting people back to work all across America. That's part of our mission. When we put in place new common sense rules to reduce air pollution, we create new jobs building and installing all sorts of pollution control technology. When we put in place new emission standards for our vehicles, we make sure that the cars of tomorrow are going to be built right here in the United States of America, that we're going to win that race. When we clean up our nation's waterways, we generate more tourists for our local communities. So what's good for the environment can also be good for our economy.
Uh-huh. So more government regulation equals more job creation. And that harkens back to the words of Nancy Pelosi last year talking about the disbursement by the federal government of unemployment checks. Remember what she said?
Now, let me say about unemployment insurance, we talk about it as a safety net and the rest. This is one of the biggest stimuluses to our economy. Economists will tell you this money is spent quickly. It injects demand into the economy and is job-creating. It creates jobs faster than almost any other initiative you can name because, again, it is money that is needed for families to survive, and it is spent. So it has a double benefit. It helps those who've lost their jobs, but it also is a job creator.
Huh. Unemployment checks, then, create jobs as well. So these geniuses of economic prosperity have the solution for all of our money problems here in the United States. It's a two-point plan. Number one, new regulations. Issue as many as is possible and as fast as possible, and then just watch job growth explode in this nation. And point number two, fire as many people as we can from their private sector jobs and begin passing out the unemployment checks. And watch the job creation machine go into high gear. I mean, how come no other nation has found this amazing cure for economic woes? Pardon me. I suggest we export this to Greece and other European nations and find out how fast they get out of trouble. I also encourage the deportation, the exportation of the previously heard leaders here on this program to implement those plans in Europe. My recommendation at the highest levels. Or I'll tell you what, if that just sounds so absurd to you as it does to me, let's turn everything over then to the Republicans. Let's give the Republicans control of the House and the Senate and the presidency and see how good they do. Before you do that, you might consider that federal spending bills approved by the Republican-controlled House of Representatives have increased the national debt by more than $1 trillion in just 10 months. Remember, Republicans won a majority of the U.S. House of Representatives in the November 2010 elections. They took control of the House officially on January 5, 2011. But the Republican-controlled House didn't actually gain a veto power over federal spending until March 4th, 2011, so that has to be the starting point if we're going to give them an accurate and fair assessment. So start March 4th, 2011. And the reason we do that is because that was the expiration date of the continuing resolution that the lame duck Democrat-controlled Congress before them approved in 2010. So, after March 4th, federal spending has all been approved by legislation that had to be approved in the Republican-controlled House. On March 1st, 2011, the Republican-controlled House passed their first continuing resolution to fund the government after March 4th. Since then, it's approved a series of continuing resolutions to keep the government funded. Now, there were 86 House Republicans that went against their party leaders and voted against the most recent December 16 continuing resolution. But if we just look at the time between March 4th and the present day, we see that the national debt has increased by $1.05 trillion just over the last 10 months. That equals about $8,964 for each American household, estimated by the Census Bureau. Now, again, this all falls, it has to, ultimately, on the House of Representatives. Because Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution says, no money shall be drawn from the Treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law. Where does the law come from? Article 1, Section 7 says that every bill, quote, shall have passed the House of Representatives and the Senate before it becomes law. So the House of Representatives has to take the credit for adding $1 trillion in additional debt in the last 10 months. So now what do you want to do? Who out there is talking about cutting the size of government in any substantial manner? Rick Santorum has said he'd like to. Ron Paul wants to cut it by $1 trillion in his first budget year, and then cut five agencies after that. I know that's what he says he wants to do, but could he actually do it, even if he had a Republican House and a Republican Senate? After these numbers I just gave you, you gotta wonder. Now, 7:45, here's traffic with Art.
Boy, it is rough out there, 640 WGST traffic, 85 southbound.